It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Mayor Phil Goff, how are you?
Tamarie, I'm fine, thank you. The sun is shining through the window and it looks like a beautiful Auckland day, and spring is coming.
I know, I'm very excited for it. Apparently I've jumped the gun a bit though, according to Tess. We've still got to get through the rainy September.
well, we hope for a bit of rain because, I know it's counterintuitive, but the lakes are now up to, I think, about 77% full in the Hunuas. They're overflowing in the Waitakere's, but they're normally in the Hunuas up around 90%.
Mm.
So we had such a long dry period, it takes quite a bit of rain to get us back to where we are. So I live out by the Hunuas, and every day it rains, I think, I hope that's going into the lakes.
Fair enough. We do need that water. Hey, let's talk a little bit to start with about this petition that's been launched by Pacific Leaders, which is calling on the Auckland Council for a cultural centre. So the idea behind this is to sort of promote Pacific heritage and also be a tourism boost. What are your thoughts on this, Phil?
Look, I'd very much like to see a Pacific Cultural Centre in South Auckland. I mean, South Auckland is not only the heart of Pacifica in New Zealand, it's the heart of Pacifica in the world. And we've been pressing government to fulfil the proposal made by Te Papa in Wellington to establish a Te Papa Manukau, which would be a Pacifica, not just a museum, but an educational centre. It would be a hands-on. It would be a major attraction and inspiration for young Pacifica kids, as well as an attraction for tourism. And Auckland Council has agreed to make, I think it's 4 hectares of land available without charge in Hayman Park in Manukau. It's right by the new bus station, the mm-hmm. railway station, by Manukau Institute of Technology. Te Papa was proposing to put $40 million into that, which would be great because we would have it and it would be paid for centrally. Neither the Key government nor the current Labor government has yet to, have committed themselves to that. They say that it's still under examination, but that to me would be a great way of establishing a world-class Pacifica centre for our Pacifica kids in Auckland, but also for, you know, tourists from around the city, around the country and around the world.
Mm. Do you think there's a way that we can sort of work, I guess, between council and government? Because you say you've been calling for this centre through Te Papa as well, but I guess Pacific Leaders are saying that they don't necessarily want a museum. They do want this to be a living centre, you know, a cultural centre where it's alive.
And that's exactly what would be planned in the latest iteration of Te Papa's proposal. It wasn't just something where you've got dusty items stored, but it's something to bring Pacifica culture alive. It'd be a learning centre, an educational experience. And, you know, we know that there's a magnificent collection of Pacifica items in Te Papa. They worry about it because they say, look, we've got all our eggs in one basket in Wellington and it's earthquake prone, and it would be good to actually have some outreach to Auckland. They have their own problems with funding, and I think that's why government has held it up. They've got a earthquake strengthen their building in Wellington, and the government's saying, well, get your priorities right before you do Te Papa Manukau. We want you to complete the plans that you've got for Wellington. So it's not a done deal yet, but it's the best and most realistic proposal that we have on the table. This particular group of Pacifica Leaders that you're talking about were closely associated, I think, with the Key government. They put it in front of the Key government. The Key government rejected it and said that they wouldn't go ahead with it. Now they're now trying the idea again, and good luck to them. They're entitled to do that. But it's talking about a leased building. And I don't think, you know, we've actually got the design plans for what Te Papa Manukau would look like, and it would be spectacular.
Mm.
And it's right in the right place, and it would succeed if we can get that government funding for it. So I don't think we should give up on that idea. I think we should keep pushing for it. And I know the chair of the local board, Lotu Fully, the ward councillors down there, and some of the local MPs down there are all very keen on the idea. So I think, you know, it's one of those things. The plan has been around in different iterations since 2013.
Mm.
It's taking a long time. These things often do. But I think we should keep pushing and say, hey, what Auckland needs as the heart of the Pacifica community in the world, is to have a centre that we are really proud of, that not just for the tourists, although that would help fund it, but for our as an inspiration and to learn culture and language for our own Pacifica kids. So that's what excites me about the idea.
Yeah, I think so too. Hey, let's move on to talking about freedom camping, a very different terrain, but still touching on tourism a little bit here too. So last week, councillors unanimously supported a proposal to hold talks with the government to tighten restrictions on freedom camping. So what would that look like, Phil?
Yeah, well, the legislation that we've got was passed at the time of the Rugby World Cup. And in a fit of enthusiasm, the government of the day decided, well, we should just have freedom camping all over the city. That's all very well, but freedom camping is growing. Most people around the city say, you know, in our city parks, do we really want camper vans with people hanging there washing out in the morning in the centre of the city, in the reserves that are, you know, down around Ōrākei or up at Omaha or around the residential areas? And the feedback, you know, I go out and I listen to people, and the hearing panel we set up listen to people, and they said it's all very well for the then government to say this is fantastic, but is it fantastic? And, you know, when I look at it, what you do with freedom camping is that, you know, people come in and they may or may not have a self-contained vehicle. A minority, and I've got to stress it is only a minority, then use the local park as the toilet, and not necessarily with a toilet block in it. They may leave litter, etc. But mainly what they do is that they will take up a place, a parking area in an area where it's pretty scarce, and they may want to stay there for a couple of days. And what that does is stop the people that generally come in for day camping or day visiting to these reserves and beaches. It's at their expense. And I just went through the local camping grounds, and we've got, you know, I think 40 council camping grounds around the city. We've got about 8 or 9 Department of Conservation. We've got several dozen commercial camping grounds. For a commercial camping ground, maybe you're paying $23 a night for an adult. And I'm thinking, actually, most people can afford that, and they've got all the facilities. They've got the laundry, they've got the toilet blocks, the shower blocks, everything they need, and they've got security. And you think about that incident down in Raglan, and, you know, I used to worry about it because, you know, we did a bit of freedom camping in Europe when we were young, and you did worry about, gosh, we're parked here in some isolated place, and we're vulnerable. So, you know, my first instinct is to say to people, it's not a barrier. It's not a financial barrier to use a camping ground. Why don't you use the camping ground and enjoy the sights by the day? And by the way, you know, if you're coming to enjoy our city and the scenery, you're very welcome here. But put something back into the city. Don't just do it on you know, as a freebie. So, you know, I think the idea that we've got, it's not just talking to the government. We're doing that at the end of this, actually, the end of this week. I think it's Friday. We're talking to Kelvin Davis. But we are also planning to go back with a much more restrictive approach that would not include opening up reserves under the Reserves Act, which are protected against camping, by the way. We're not thinking of opening them up in residential areas, and we're thinking of having a general rule so somebody can't just camp outside your place or outside the local kindergarten and stay there for a couple of weeks thinking this is a nice place to stay.
All right. Well, that sounds fairly sensible, I would have to say. Let's talk about our last topic this morning, which we touched on before, chickens. Yes. So there are officially contractors set to be appointed to remove the Titirangi chickens. This is a slightly divisive subject in Titirangi, I believe. So what is the sort of thing that people can do, I guess, to help? And what do people need to know about this? I assume the chickens aren't going to be poisoned. They're not going to be,
We're looking at capturing and rehoming the birds. Look, what people have been doing, and it's a bit contagious, unfortunately, somebody says, oh, we had these chooks, but we don't want them anymore, so, oh, we don't want to kill them, so why don't we just dump them in the bush at Titirangi? And the flock of chooks and roosters have grown over time. The roosters, I live in the rural area, so I know all about roosters. They can be a little annoying at 4 o'clock in the morning, saying, time to wake up. And people are worried that feeding the chooks the foods around the place, and that's adding to the increase in rat numbers caused by, you know, the mastication with the seeding of the bush. So it has been divisive, but the Waitakere Rangers Local Board has agreed that they want the chooks removed, and quite a lot of local people want them removed. For, you know, they kind of make a bit of a mess around the pavements, etc. And today, a contract will be awarded to a contractor to come in, try to capture the chooks, and try to find a new home for them.
So they're probably going to be rehomed. Is that the case?
That's what the objective is. I mean, obviously, if they're sick or diseased or whatever, they're likely to be put down. But they are making a genuine effort to find new homes for them.
Well, that sounds good. Thank you very much for your time this morning, Mayor Phil Goff.
Okay, Rachel. Good to talk to you as always.
Speak to you next week. Bye.
Bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.